Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, brought to you by People's Choice Video Express. People's Choice Video Express, they got movies and crap.
That's good enough.
Hey, everybody, it's EG Sites.
I'm Francisco Landin.
We're Blockbuster Nostalgia. We are the movie podcast, counting down the biggest movies of the 1980s.
One by one.
One by one, but not today.
Yeah. We are actually counting down.
I mean, we're actually exactly doing that. We're just doing it in a slightly different format.
We got the Final Four coming up.
That's right.
We did a March Madness style bracket where they all fought each other.
That's right.
And we have four left.
We have four left.
Which were the ones that just have billions and billions of dollars.
Unfortunately, Duke's still going to win, and we hate Duke.
Duke. We're counting them all the way down till we start doing the last four.
So we're going back. We're recapping some of our old episodes just for funsies.
Sure. Listen to it and then go back and listen to the episodes if you like what we talk about now.
It's a second choice for us to make dumb jokes.
Yeah, we get to get chances. All right. Which one are we starting off this time?
We're going to start with episode 43. It's Footloose.
Footloose. Do we kick off our Sunday shoes?
No, you keep your Sunday shoes on, God damn it. This is a respectful house of the Lord.
John Lithgow shows up in this movie and he's like, keep your goddamn fucking Sunday shoes on, you son of a bitch. Because I lost a son, right?
Daughter. I think, right?
I lost a child. Yeah. And now my daughter.
Because of dancing.
And now my daughter is a bipolar, crazy chick. And I'll be damned if I lose her to dancing.
That's right.
I'll lose her to bipolarism. But not dancing. But then one sultry, supple Kevin Bacon shows up. And he's like, you know what I like to do? Dance.
And everyone's like, what?
Not as supposed to dance. And Chris Penn is like, I have no idea how to dance.
Yes.
And then they make him dance.
It's very funny.
Yeah. He kicks off his Sunday shoes.
He does.
Yeah.
This is not I would say a great movie. Mm. However, this is by far the best dancing movie we talk about in the podcast.
We have a handful of dancing movies.
A lot of dancing movies.
And this one is actually really good.
By far the best one.
Again, not the best movie. But
if you judge it against there are other dancing movies such as Staying Alive
or Dirty Dancing,
fucking Flashdance.
Oh, Flashdance is so god awful.
Yeah, this movie is like Citizen Kane compared to those movies.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or Born on the 4th of July, the dancing spectacle that was.
Yeah, that does have a lot of wheelchair dancing.
It had that cool thing where he's like in a wheelchair, but then he like kicks it off.
Yeah,
and he does a bunch of dances
and does a bunch of flips because he's been healed by the power of the Lord.
Yeah.
He's also a con artist.
He's conning everybody out of.
And Steve Martin plays the preacher, I'm pretty sure.
I think so, yes. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's very fun.
And then, Tom Cruise and Willem Dafoe, right? And then at the end, if I remember correctly, Tom Cruise hits Muhammad Ali and breaks his jaw. in 1,000 pieces.
Call back to the last episode. That definitely happens. So yeah, Footloose, Kevin Bacon, he's the rebel.
There's warehouse dancing in this.
This is the movie that made Kevin Bacon Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, it did. It also, watching it, because I had seen it when I was a young kid, I remember that.
Yeah.
But watching it again, I never realized how fucking crazy she is.
Oh yeah, no, she's a certified, like, do not.
Oh, she like not. Takes a baseball bat to a truck and shit at one point.
She's like, when you look in the internet dictionary for do not stick your dick in crazy, she's like entry number 2 under Harley Quinn.
She's the one that's trying to jump from one truck to the other truck in the middle of it, and her legs
almost dies like 8 times in this movie.
Yes. And then it's still somehow Kevin Bacon's fault. I don't know. Yeah. She's a chick that your friend starts dating and you're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Because you know that from now on, it's just going to be fucking shit show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to be doing that thing where like, hey, we're hanging out. Yeah. And it's 30 minutes of driving and listening to him argue with her over the phone.
Right.
And you're like, just fucking, dude, come on.
Or it's like, if she comes with you, then it's like, all right, we're all having a good time for like 15 minutes. And then
it's just a fucking blowout.
Nightmare.
She's
nightmare
insane
night.
In this. Yeah. Thank God for the dancing, because Kevin Bacon just had to fucking dance.
Yeah, he just had to dance. You have that amazing soundtrack.
Yeah, the song is great, actually.
The song is great.
It's a very catchy song.
And it became a huge hit for a reason.
It starts ridiculously stupid with people's feet.
And also, this movie, the craziest thing about this movie is actually the thing that's real, which is that there was a town that outlawed dancing.
Yeah, like till like 1942. No,
it was like 1978.
Yeah, no dancing. No, they were like the devil's work. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's a tool of Satan.
Yep.
And we will not have it in this town.
It also ended with them doing like a high school report to the court, to like the whatever.
The school council or something. Or whatever.
Yeah. No, it was like the legal, like they were trying to change the law. It was city council. That's
right. They go to Judge Judy.
Yeah. And he's reading it like, dancing was big in Bible. Then the Bible back then. It's actually a pretty realistic high school report.
It's very much so. It's like, Abraham, he totally got down.
Yeah.
And Moses too. Moses was like, let my people go. Do some tango.
Yeah.
We don't usually include that last part, but if you actually look in Exodus,
there was a lot of tango.
There's a lot of like,
there's a lot of roses and mouths.
Yeah. He's like, let my people go. We got to get on that dance floor, son. He's like, Ramses, and then, you know, I got a boogie.
Yeah. He was like,
no, build pyramids. It's like, we'll build the pyramids. It's cool. Yeah. We got no problem with the building the pyramids, but after we're done, you know, we got to get some of that.
He's like, hit it, Judah Ben-Hur. And it's like,
Exactly. And Ben-Hur's like, wait for the drop.
Boom. Yeah. Read your Bible, kids.
Yeah, read your Bible. It's full of crazy stuff.
Read your Bible, kids. That's why Kevin Bacon wasn't incest and
murder, but
yeah. And John Lithgow should have read his Bible.
That's true. Instead of just, well, but he was also an alien, you know.
That's right. I forgot. Rock, you know, yeah.
He's a crazy alien guy.
He's a crazy alien.
Or a serial killer. Whatever John Lithgow you prefer.
Or housing a giant Bigfoot.
That's true. He might be housing a giant Bigfoot. Or he may be trying to kill Sly Stallone on the winter slopes of Everest, the Rockies,
wherever they were. Yeah. Cliffhanger, there was no real place.
It was mountains. It was snow. It was cool stunts.
It was probably the Rockies. Probably. I feel.
Everyone was American, so I'm guessing the Rockies.
Coors, because of the Coors.
Yeah, well, they also all drank Coors nonstop. Yeah.
That's what happened in that movie. There was too much Coors drinking.
Yep, that's why that lady falls to her death. It's because Stallone reached for that lady, but there was a Coors there, and he's like,
I am really surprised that there was not a fucking commercial where Stallone is like clinging to life and he reaches down and instead of a lady, it's a fucking can of Coors.
Oh, that'd be good.
They really missed the mark on that. They missed
the opportunity.
Taste the Rockies. They missed it. Can we go
back to 1993 and make that commercial?
I'll pitch that fucking commercial.
Come on, Coors.
It's fucking, come on. It's the beginning of the movie. It's great. You get to see the beginning of the movie, but with the Coors can? Perfect. Incredible. I mean, it makes me want to drink a Coors right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to cut this episode short. We got to go get some Coors Original.
Yeah. Let's still record while we're drinking some Coors. While
we're just chug.
Yeah. We're just like, drinking it. And then immediately after I drink it, I'm like, that's right. It's Coors.
So that brings us, we're done with that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Moonstruck.
Oh, Moonstruck.
Yeah, Moonstruck.
This is the most 44. Italian movie that we talk about.
This is the most Italian movie.
Everybody talking like this.
You got Nick Cage. You got the Cher. You got the John Mahone.
Nicolas Cage. Who was Cher's boyfriend that leaves to Italy?
It's Danny Aiello.
Danny Aiello. Yeah. Fucking great. Amazing Cage brother. Yeah.
Clearly. They look just like each other.
Yeah, when they cast it, they were like, who do we cast to be Danny Aiello's brother? One young Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, one young, very skinny Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Who's also missing a hand.
He's missing a hand. He's very angry about missing a hand.
He's very angry.
Because it's Danny Aiello's fault that Nicolas Cage put his hand in the thing.
That's right. He put his hand in like the wheat grinder.
Danny Aiello was not even there, I don't think.
No, but he was mad at him for other stuff.
It's his fault. Exactly. So we get some awesome Nicolas Cage freakouts.
Oh, yeah, you get, this is probably, because I don't remember any.
There's no prior Nicolas Cage freakout to this.
Yeah, because you had Raising Arizona, but he's pretty even keel in that amazing movie.
No, the movie's a freakout.
He's steady in it. This one, though, he has the whole, like, my hand!
He's in my hand, I'm a baking in the bread! Yeah. Oh, also, it has the very relatable theme to it. And
cheating is good.
Cheating is great, actually.
Cheating is actually very good and leads to happy relationships.
It's crazy. It's crazy that this movie is all about how awesome cheating is.
And it's crazy that this is a movie that women of the 80s love.
Yeah. Yeah, like your mom will show you this fucking movie.
Yes, my mom did show me this movie.
You got to sit down and watch this movie about how great it is to cheat. And then she just looks over at your dad. And then you don't get it till years later when you're talking to your therapist.
Yep.
And you're like, wait a minute.
What happened there? Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole thing about the moon and like,
yeah. Moon, when that's the moon's moonstruck. In your eye, like a big pizza pie.
That's about it.
Sleep with a stranger.
Yeah, show up to that other girl's house and fucking
just go balls deep.
Yeah. Also, he
pepperoni deep. In fairness,
yeah, because it's so Italian. Then you got to go. Pepperoni.
I should have gone sausage. They're more ball like, but
no pepperoni. Pepperoni's fun. It's funnier sounding.
It's funnier.
There's a whole thing about like you got to cheat to be happy,
right?
Danielle leaves and he cheats on her immediately,
and he's happy.
Nicolas Cage.
She cheats with Nick Cage.
They're happy. Nicolas Cage is
one that doesn't
fucking
cheat.
Over his brother by having sex with his girlfriend.
Which that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cheating, that's one thing, but cheating with your brother's girlfriend, like fiance, actually, they're about to get married like in a week.
Yeah, and then he brings her.
The whole reason they meet is because she's inviting him to the wedding,
because he wouldn't invite him, because they wouldn't come.
They were estranged because of the whole hand thing.
They bang it out.
My hand!
He lost it in the wheat thresher or whatever the fuck. But then she like has sex with him, and then she cooks him a steak in his own house.
That's right.
Which is Italian.
It's very Italian. Yeah.
That's a wife. And you were about to say, the only one that doesn't cheat, and actually the best performance in this fucking movie.
Yeah, it's John Mahoney and...
it's Olympia Dukakis.
Olympia Dukakis, that's right.
Olympia Dukakis has a great
scene in
it. She's
fucking amazing in this movie.
Yeah, she is. And she doesn't cheat. She's the only one.
She's the only one that's like, should I cheat? He's very charming. Nah.
No, and he was very charming.
He was.
And he's dating like college girls.
18-year-olds because he's a college professor and he's just banging his students.
He's dating college chicks, and then she shows up and she berates him a little bit.
That's
right. He takes it pretty well. He
takes it pretty well, and she's like, charismatic. He's like, you're a little older than my usual thing, but you got that spunk.
Yeah, you're going to be Frasier's dad at some point, so you know.
Yeah.
It's a weird movie.
It's a very fun but weird movie.
It's a very fun movie. It's very well written. But I am very conflicted about the fucking message of this movie.
The message is weird.
Which is, nobody's happy until everybody cheats, and then everybody's happy.
And then everybody's happy. They have a great family dinner at the end. It's very Italian.
Yeah, they get all their bread and their olive oils
their
fucking meatballs.
Fucking
and stuff.
Delicious. God, does now anyone else want some pizza or something? Come on.
You guys want some fettuccine Alfredo?
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah, I do.
Let's get some fettuccine Alfredo,
meatballs,
listeners.
Or something. Oh, fuck. That sounds great.
We'll do a live episode
of us just unboxing our fucking order from the local Italian.
We'll do a live episode where people bring in their food.
Oh, okay.
And then while we're talking about
a
movie, we just eat and talk about who brought us what.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We can get like 6 people to bring some food.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, stay tuned for that.
Episode 45, it was Police Academy. The massive, massive comedy hit that sprung so many sequels.
They went to Moscow one time.
They went to Moscow. They had a TV show. I think they had a cartoon, toys, t-shirts.
The Goots, man. The Goots.
Goots, man.
Steve Guttenberg, killing it here.
Killing it.
Killing it. It's also pretty dated as far as jokes go.
Yeah, it's very dated as far as jokes go.
There's a lot of gay jokes in this
movie.
It's
not as funny as you remember it being. It's not as funny as you remember. Because I remember this, even now, even having seen the movie again recently and knowing in my mind that it is not a great movie, in my heart, I'm still like, oh yeah, Police Academy is fucking great.
Yeah, it's great. And then you watch it, you're like, I mean, Kim Cattrall is hot, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's got some funny jokes, a few in there, but a lot of the jokes,
There is the blowjob pedestal joke, which is really good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, where a girl starts sucking the old man's dick.
That's right.
That actually, it happens
They put some prostitute under the thing, and then the captain goes up and gets...
And he's doing the speech, and then he's getting a blowjob, and it's like, and then he looks down, and Steve Guttenberg is like, down there.
Very funny.
It's very funny. Yeah. Also, you know, there's a couple of meathead cadets.
That's right. They get shown what for. There's also some tits.
They get shown what for by... being taken to a gay bar.
That's right.
And in the 80s, a gay bar
immediately makes you gay.
No, yeah. Wandering into a gay bar in the 80s in movies means that you cannot leave. They will hold you hostage.
Yeah, because they're all
covered
giant
in leather.
Leather daddies. Yeah.
And they won't let you leave.
They will not.
Because back then they were all about turning everybody gay.
That's right. Because, you know, the gay agenda.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Again, I think, I'm pretty sure Ronald Reagan did like a 45-minute press conference about the gay agenda.
About the gay agenda and how you have to be careful about that shit.
Yeah.
And if it goes too far, he will launch the nukes.
He'll launch nukes against the gay people.
Against the gay people.
Which was just New York at the time.
It was just New York and San Francisco.
Yeah. Go back and look at those press conferences. He has, like, there's a big thing where a big bullseye goes over New York and San Francisco.
That's right.
And then he was like, stop your gayness right now.
Or I will hit this
button. Or I will hit the button. And then they were like, oh, be nice. And then they would just keep dancing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, what else?
Yeah. But Police Academy kind of dated except for sound effects.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Michael Winslow comes in. And yes, he is a national treasure of ridiculous sound effects.
Amazing sound effects.
Every child in America was like...
That's why we thought it was a good movie when we were kids.
That's true.
Because there was a guy that could make any noises with his fucking mouth.
You had a guy that could do any single noise you could ever imagine with his mouth. And then you had another guy who was very, very big.
Yeah, he had one giant guy.
Yeah, one giant guy.
And often they would pair him with a tiny lady.
Yeah, a tiny lady.
Which would make them funnier.
Funnier. Yeah. And he would flip over cars with his bare hands.
He flips over
cars. All I wanted to do when I was a kid was be able to do funny voices and flip over cars with my bare hands. And this movie had both of those things.
He legit flipped over a car with his bare hands.
Yeah.
It was a gremlin or something, but
still. Yeah, it's a small car, but still.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, he rips out a seat because he can drive because he's a big guy.
Also, we talked about this on that, but this is the R-rated movie that spawned PG sequels and right.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were like, we were making way more money on television fucking syndication.
Yeah, TBS, with the cut TNT, version USA, whatever.
Than we are with the fucking R-rated VHS sales. Yeah.
That's why I never knew this movie had nudity until... Thank goodness.
And it has a lot of nudity. Yeah,
it has a lot of nudity. It's the 80s.
Yeah, there's a lot of sneaking into like ladies like locker rooms and shit like that.
A lot of locker room stuff.
Yeah. Amongst all the gay jokes.
Yeah. 80s in gay jokes and tits. Gay jokes and tits. So episode 46, our second Christmas classic, it's Die Hard.
Oh, yeah. Die Hard. This was Mario came in. This is the first time Mario.
First Mario episode and Die Hard, you know, it's Die Hard. What do we got to say? It's the classic story of a Frankenstein monster who he just gets parts ripped off of him. And,
if I remember correctly.
But he cannot be stopped.
Yeah.
And he just sews new parts on, which inspired a lot of really good metal songs, which are also in the movie, about being sewn back together.
So much that he died hard.
He died. Well, he died very hard. Yeah. With his, I'm talking about his penis, obviously.
Obviously, clearly.
They do have this funeral scene where they cannot close the casket.
Nope, they can't.
Because it's just...
Because of the erection.
That's the thing.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, Die Hard, perfect movie. Perfect action movie, right? Yeah. We talked about it. It also...
Made Bruce Willis a star, which he...
Made Bruce Willis the third biggest action star.
Which is crazy, but... Yes, it made Bruce Willis such a huge star that he went on for 15 more years of awesome movies like Pulp Fiction, The Fifth Element, Sixth Sense, fucking
and
all
then
the
he,
Die Hard
then he
capped
it. He's like, I've done enough.
And then he died, and this other guy took over his career and made 15 years worth of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, yeah. No, at one point... Bruce Willis was making so many good movies, and then he was like, you know what? I'm tired of making good movies.
What if I made bad movies?
What if I just make garbage movies?
Yeah.
But I saw you show up in The Expendables.
Every once in a while, yeah. Every once in a while,
but
I'll
then
show up in a good movie.
I fuck it up myself, and then I can't be in the
and
last
I can't
one.
Can't be in it anymore.
Yeah.
They got to replace me with Harrison Ford, who's cooler than me anyways.
Yeah, and then, but I get to make movies that are called like Marauders. Precious Cargo.
Yeah.
And attacks and stuff like that.
The Hard Way or something. And where all I have to do is be on the phone with the guy that's actually the star for like, I don't know, 20 minutes.
And that's it.
And then I get paid like $5 million.
Yep. Phone it in. Literally phone it in.
Yeah.
This movie also spawned every other fucking action movie in the late 80s.
Oh, yeah. So basically, we talk about this, but the 80s, every movie in the 80s wanted to either be Rambo First Blood Part 2 or Die Hard.
Or Die Hard. Exactly. Yeah. Every action movie.
Up till about...
Or like Terminator.
Or Terminator-ish, maybe, but really it was those two movies up until about 1999 when The Matrix came out.
Yeah, exactly. And then everybody wanted to be The Matrix.
Yeah.
But until then, everything is Die Hard and a boat.
Yep.
Die Hard in space.
Die Hard on a bus.
Die Hard on the bus. Yeah, exactly. Like Die Hard in a fucking ice rink.
That's right.
Like a hockey game, Die Hard. God.
Sudden Death is awesome.
Sudden Death is pretty good. So, all right. Let's talk about Sudden Death for a minute. Because
Sudden Death's pretty awesome,
that movie's fucking great. That's Van Damme in a fucking hockey game.
He has to, like, play on the... He has to actually dress up like a hockey player.
And play on the fucking... Yeah. Oh, man. Because there's a bomb in there. He's got to find it without causing mayhem, because then the bomb will go off.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, all of that owes a lot to this
Die Hard, yeah, to for this sure.
quote Christmas end quote movie.
Yeah, it's not really a Christmas movie, but it's set at Christmas, just like every single Shane Black movie.
Yeah, yeah, because he loves Christmas.
He loves Christmas.
It also has some amazing actors in it.
Oh yeah, you got obviously Rickman. You got.
I think
Bruce
we talked
Willis,
about there was a guy that looked exactly like
There's
Huey Lewis.
There's a guy that looks exactly like Huey Lewis. That is not.
That is not Huey Lewis, but we were pretty sure.
You got Reginald Vell Johnson.
Again, this is like another Reginald Johnson. He's like the second appearance or something like that.
We love that guy. He has...
Bruce Willis also loves that guy in this movie.
Yeah, of course
they have
does.
A great romance,
They have the bromance to end all bromances.
Yeah, they do.
Because he's the only guy that believes him.
Yeah, and he's outside, he's inside.
Yeah.
What a wacky... What
he
a
shot
wacky,
a kid.
Yeah, he shot a... Yeah, I don't know if you remember going back, but he shot a kid. Reginald Vell Johnson shoots a kid. Yeah. He shot a kid at some point.
He did, yeah.
But that would be a... Why didn't they ever make a buddy comedy like that, like a show? Mm. He's inside in the middle of a fucking takeover. He's outside
That's
dealing
true.
With the cops and
the
SWAT team.
Show.
Yeah.
How is Netflix not already greenlit the Die Hard, the TV show?
Yeah, but it's hilarious.
But it's, well, it's less hilarious and more teen drama.
Yeah,
so because that's
there's a lot of going
right
to the dance.
There's a lot of like, I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of teen like rom-coms on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
So if instead we make John McClane's character like a dark, mysterious 17-year-old boy,
yeah.
And we make Reginald Vell Johnson's character a sassy, sexy like 16-year-old girl.
All right,
you know what I'm saying. You know, you get a little, and it's interracial too, so they like that. You know, it's very progressive.
Obviously.
You know,
can we crank up the Christmas thing? And now it's a Christmas movie.
It's definitely a Christmas movie. It's called the Christmas. Christmas heist.
Okay. Christmas heist.
But Alan Rickman is now played by another very sexy, like, German girl, and now it's like a love triangle.
But she's evil. But you know, right,
she's
away
evil,
she's evil.
But it's a love triangle still.
But you know she's evil because of what she wears and shit.
Yeah. So you're not rooting for her, but still, like, her and the Bruce Willis character have a little bit of a connection. So you're like, oh, don't get it with her. She's evil. Yeah.
And they're really heisting his heart.
Oh, that's the tagline.
That's the tagline.
That's the tagline. If they made
the biggest heist of all,
if they made posters
for Netflix movies, yeah, which they should.
Well,
the biggest heist of all, the heist for his heart.
Oh God, that's good.
Christmas heist based on Die Hard the movie.
Jesus, we're just coming up with good ideas. One
we get
after
some,
another.
We get a Bruce Willis cameo because again, he'll show up and be on the phone for
whatever.
20 minutes.
He does not care.
And he'll pick up his
He's
5 million.
He's the dad. Clearly,
he's the dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll make whatever. It doesn't matter. And then Netflix rakes in $1 million.
And somehow we don't get paid for it.
No.
So that brings us to episode 47. It's Airplane. Sucker Abrams.
This is another one where we're not as funny as a movie.
We're never going to be as funny as Airplane. Airplane's one of the great comedies of all time.
This, okay, opposite to what we were talking about with fucking Police Academy, all the jokes age really well in this.
Airplane's still fucking hilarious.
It's really funny. All the race jokes are really funny. All the gay, like, homosexual jokes are really funny.
Yeah.
Like the Gladiator movie thing.
Oh, that's right. You like Gladiator films?
Ever seen a grown man naked, Billy? Or the little
it's
girl?
It's funny because he's a kid.
Yeah, because he's a child. Pedophilia, it's always funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
The little girl being like, I like my coffee, like I like my man black.
Yeah, that's
pretty
right.
Great.
The jive talking.
Jive talking. Yeah. Beating up that nun.
The beating up the nun part is so good.
Don't call me Shirley,
obviously. Why the drinking problem. I've used that joke so many times. Yeah. I can't even count.
One of the most quotable fucking movies of the 80s.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that it made it on the list and this far up the list.
Yeah.
Because it's the one before the rest of them.
Yeah.
It is. Well, I mean, Blazing Saddles and like Mel Brooks and stuff.
Yeah, Mel Brooks was obviously still established. But yeah, this is the movie that Zucker Abrams, it made them.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd done stuff before this, but this was the one that made them.
Kind of created
like,
the genre, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and usually the one that creates a genre is the one that nobody fucking watches.
But no, this one was huge.
Yeah, this one was a fucking, it's great. It had a weird sequel, I think we talked about.
Yeah, Airplane 2. This is good. It's good.
It's all right.
Shatner's in it.
Yeah, Shatner is in it. Yeah. But again, we talked about this in the last episode. Leslie Nielsen breaks out from this.
Leslie Nielsen as becomes a huge comedy star.
But he plays it straight, which is the funniest part of this. Yeah.
Totally serious the whole way through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, watch that movie. But the jokes, we can't.
It's great. It's a great movie. It's hard to talk about.
Again, this was also Nathan.
Yeah, this is a Nathan movie. This is a movie that it still really, really works now. But like we said, like it's aged really well. Yeah. However, the whole point of this movie is to make fun of movies that were big in the 70s that nobody
remembers.
Seen.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers Airplane 77
or whatever it was called.
Airport, or whatever the fuck. Yeah. Like all these like disaster movies that were big in the 70s. Nobody cares or remembers any of them.
High tense movies. Yeah. But that's the genius of this movie. Because if you go back to the early 2000s when they were making all those like disaster movie and date movie and shit like that, those are incredibly dated.
Yeah, because all of their jokes are specific to be like, hey, remember when this happened in fucking...
In Austin Powers?
Austin Powers, or like when this happened in...
The Others and shit.
Scream or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. No, those are incredibly dated. But this one, all the jokes, even though they're making fun of those movies, they're not specifically fucking referencing those movies or using characters those movies. So it's...
Or even when they are, they're doing it in such a like... genuinely relatable, funny way.
Yeah, exactly.
It actually reminds me, so we were watching Wayne's World earlier.
Yeah.
Wayne's World 2 has the bit with Chris Farley doing the officer and a gentleman, I got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
When I first saw Wayne's World 2, I was like 12 years old. I'd never seen Officer and a Gentleman. I didn't know
that
was
a callback to that.
But Chris Farley is just so funny. Yeah. And he's breaking, it's still like lands.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
He loses his shit over the mic because he can't get the mic stand up. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like you don't have to specifically make the fucking character to make it funny.
Yep.
And this movie is all about that.
Ah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Definitely watch Airplane. If you never watched Airplane, if you're a youngin and you've never watched Airplane, watch Airplane.
Oh, so yeah, listen to the podcast. It's pretty good. Nathan brings
a lot of like actual genuine information.
Yeah.
Which we don't like to do on this podcast, but he did.
No, we like to make up a lot of shit.
Yeah, we just generally make up a lot of shit. Yeah. Episode 48. Danny DeVito, the director, brings us The War of the Roses. This completes our trilogy and the trilogy of the Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, Danny DeVito, Jewel of the Nile, Romancing the Stone, and then, of course, this movie.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
Also, Dan Castaneda is in it.
He does the voice of Homer Simpson. You know him as the guy that goes, boy.
Dough. Yeah. He doesn't do dough. He does boy.
That's what he's famous for.
Yeah. So we're going, boy. I remember that.
First season of The Simpsons. Yeah. It's the only season I ever saw. I assume it's still that exactly now, 30 years later.
He just Dan Castellaneta back then in the first season of The Simpsons, he made him sound like a 78-year-old fucking. Yeah. Like he's like, hi, son.
Yep.
You'd like to get some ice cream? Boy. Yeah. It's bad.
It's great.
Yeah. But he doesn't say a word in this fucking movie.
He does not. He gets set down at the beginning to be told this amazing story.
Yeah.
And
Danny DeVito's a divorce lawyer.
He's a divorce lawyer.
And he's kind of trying to tell him, like, this is the worst that could happen.
This is why divorce, maybe think about staying with your wife.
Yeah. Because let me tell you what happened between Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner.
Yeah. They have the worst divorce of all time, in which pets are destroyed, houses are wrecked,
cars end up in a fucking chandelier. Yeah. His badass car. He had like a 1930s car.
Yeah, he did. It was like
it was like a cherry 1930s car. It's just mayhem. I think we talked about it. It's a lot like The Money Pit, where it's just like
one thing after another. It just builds and builds.
Their relationship falling apart. But it gets so fucking mean.
It does get.
This movie gets super mean.
It's a comedy-ish, but it's also very uncomfortable to the point that by the end of it, you're just like, oh my God, like I've been through
a
lot. I need a moment.
They're putting me through so much. We're in chandeliers of fucking gunshots being shot out. This is the
marriage story of like 1986.
Yeah. It's fucking great. And Danny DeVito knocks it out of the park.
I mean, it's DeVito, dude.
Yeah.
He's fucking great.
Well, directing wise too.
Yeah. Well, that too. Yeah.
Yeah. It had a lot of, was it also a Christmas movie? It had a lot of snow stuff in it. It had Christmas stuff in it.
I think they do have some holidays because they, you know, it's
because it goes through stuff. Their years of,
it's the year of their nonsense.
At some point, I do remember Danny DeVito also gets a footseed.
He does. There's like a, I don't know if it's Thanksgiving or some other big dinner where, he brings a prostitute and she gives him a little bit of under the table.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. She footsies him. He brings a prostitute, which is dope.
Yeah. She mashes it.
Yeah. She mashes it. She's just mashing it at that point. But he's like their family friend.
Yeah.
And he's a lawyer. Well,
he's Michael Douglas's like best friend.
Best friend, yeah. Yeah. And he's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer, and Michael Douglas is a lawyer.
Yeah, they're both lawyers. And who does he bring to his fucking family dinner? It's a prostitute.
Yeah.
We don't see him have sex with her, but he obviously had sex.
Obviously,
with her.
Yeah.
But yeah, he gets totally footsied. Then Vito brings us the sliminess again.
Yes, he does.
Actually, everybody plays to their strengths in this movie.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Yeah, Kathleen Turner is sexy but femme fatale-ish and yeah, kind of vicious.
Kind of a bitch and yeah, really vicious.
Michael Douglas is charismatic but also a scumball. Yeah. Michael Douglas' thing, we talk about this later and we talk about this earlier, is that Michael Douglas actually doesn't do a lot of bad shit. But the way he just acts, you're just like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Stop being a scumbag, man. And you're like, but I had an affair and it was a mistake. Nah, fuck your face, dude. Yeah, but my wife is the one that shot this pregnant lady. Yeah. Nah, fuck you, Michael Douglas. And you're stupid.
She killed my dog, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, fuck you, Michael Douglas. You fucked us up,
very
dude.
Very mean.
Yeah. Nobody told you to be this charismatic and have that voice. Yeah. Like, that's a problem, I think.
Yeah, it is a problem.
I think the voice is a problem, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, because even in the last one, I mean, even in the Joel Denial and stuff like that, like, he's obviously super cool, but...
It is interesting to imagine that this is the end result of Joel Denial.
Yeah, that they got married.
They finally got married and then it ends this badly. Oh.
He ends in a dumpster fire of a fucking marriage.
Yeah.
That ends... Do they die at the end?
They die
at the end, right? Yeah. They fall
off
the
each other.
Yeah. This fucking movie, they kill each other in this movie.
It's a dark movie.
That's crazy.
People are freaking out about Marriage Story being a dark movie. No, they kill each other.
They kill each other, yeah.
They kill each other.
It's a great fucking movie that gets super dark
and
is very vicious and mean, but very good and very funny.
Yeah. No, it's a good movie.
Yeah. And I'm glad that it made it to the list.
Yeah, for sure. So that brings us to episode 49 and our last episode for today. This is a movie that is known far and wide as a movie that I would never watch as a child because I'm a guy.
Yeah.
It's Steel Magnolias.
Steel Magnolias. So we brought in Emma and Erica for this.
That's
one.
That's right. This is a double dose of lady power.
Because both of them love this movie.
That, and why wouldn't they?
And you had not seen this movie.
Never seen it.
No. I thought that it was about robot flowers.
Yeah.
That became sentient.
That's what I thought too.
And then
I thought it was like a Transformers thing where they look like flowers, but they're also robots, but then they transform into bigger robots that shoot each other with laser guns.
Petals.
Yeah.
With razor sharp petals.
Razor sharp petals.
That's right. That,
like, remember the Ninja Turtle shooter that shot pizzas?
Yeah. No, like that,
petals, but they were also sharpened to a fine point that would slice right through a human neck.
Yeah, cut you in half.
Yeah.
Also, I was expecting a big sunflower that shot sunflower seeds like bullets.
Oh, that's good.
I really wanted that.
Yeah.
And then it was going to be a massive battle of robot sentient flowers. Because when I, because Transformers was big at the time, and I felt like Steel Magnolias, they're made of solid steel.
That's right.
And they fight.
Or it's like real steel.
Oh, yeah. Where it's
real Steel Magnolias.
Steel Magnolias, which is, which one Hugh Jackman.
Fights with a robot.
That's
a flower.
Controls flower robots.
Controls flower robots to win back
the love of his son. That he used to get some money because he was in some trouble. Because
he's a scumbag.
Yeah, because he's a scumbag. No, so this movie turns out was about ladies being friends and dying.
Yep.
It's in the heart of all women that grew up at some point in the 80s. And watching it, I thought it was pretty good.
I mean, it's a really good movie.
It is.
It's Dolly Parton, first of all, brings it.
Julia Roberts wins the Oscar for dying.
She's not that great. So really, I mean, Julia Roberts, she's America's sweetheart.
Yeah.
Give her the award, whatever. I don't know. She's adorable. Who cares? Really, this movie is about Sally Field crying a lot. Like, just really bringing that cry field.
Yeah.
And it's about Olympia. It's about Olympia Dukakis and Shirley MacLaine being fucking hilarious.
Great. And Dolly Parton being fucking great. And they're like hairdressers and shit.
And about Daryl Hannah being like really cute and innocent, but also has a dark, sinister past. It doesn't really matter because she's just cute and innocent.
Was she slutty in this? I don't remember.
No.
Was she outgoing?
No.
Like 80s
slutty? I think she wasn't slutty, but she does then go on a few dates, which the other girls are like, you're dating a lot of guys right now.
There's a lot of guy Carolina. Dating going on.
A lot of guy dating. Maybe you should just settle down with Tom the Butcher, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know why we always go to Butcher.
Yeah.
Do we have a thing for Butchers?
I feel like we don't have a thing for Butchers. I feel like Butchers were just a good...
they were just
it
a
was,
good
It was
match.
A good profession to have back then.
That's true.
Back in the 30s, if you're a butcher, you have your own butcher shop. That's true. It's like a trade that you learn.
It's a respectable trade, but still, we could go with baker. We could go with
no, not as
candlestick
manly.
Maker.
A butcher could kill a man. I think
that's true. A butcher had a big knife.
Yeah, he had a big knife and a big apron. I mean,
we could go with a smith.
Oh yeah, some sort of smith.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
we can go making horseshoes and shit,
or like a glass person or something.
Yeah, glass blower.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound as cool.
Not
as cool.
He's blowing glass. That's kind of feminine. I don't know.
Yeah, he's blowing. As soon as you add blowing, all you're going to think about.
Also, in this movie, Tom Skerritt is the dumbest fucking husband.
He is the dumbest fucking
and
husband.
And it's great. He's like shooting out fireworks and trees and shit.
He does. And he also has the greatest reaction to his daughter dying and his wife being in mourning, which is like, you got this, right? All right. I'm going to go.
I got some barbecuing to do with the boys.
But you just talk this over with the ladies. I got... Anyways,
feelings. I can't do feelings.
I'm not into that feelings. I'm gonna go fly a jet with Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I gotta.
That's how I express my feelings.
What was he in this movie? Did he just own like a hardware shop or some shit like
something
that?
Like
something
that.
Stupid like that,
I don't
right?
Know.
This movie. All right, and then also on this podcast on that episode, we talk about the fact that to me and you.
That's right.
This movie and all the other, like, because we're like, well, what happens in Fried Green Tomatoes? They're like, oh, yeah, somebody dies in that one.
And mom, and I'm like
wait
sad
a minute.
About it, yeah.
What happens in this other girl movie? Oh, somebody, what happens in Notebook? Oh, he dies in that. All right, well, it's like, I feel like all these
they're
movies
all the
are
same.
Just, yeah. And then the flip side of that.
All of our action movies are kind of the same movie. Yeah. And the same way that, like, we always get confused over whether Steel Magnolias or Fried Green Tomatoes, mm-hmm. because they have a lot of the same people.
Yeah,
same
and it's
thing.
Like an ensemble cast of women. Yeah.
And that Erica and many other women have no idea that Rocky and Rambo are two different people.
Yeah, exactly. Or what's the difference between fucking like Terminator and like RoboCop
right,
or like
yeah,
that?
Which is a very clear fucking difference. One is a cybernetic organism over living tissue over a fucking exoskeleton.
Yeah.
The other one is a man's brain
inside of a half robot cyborg
exactly.
who is also a cop.
Who's also a cop who got murdered by fucking Red from that 70s show.
Yeah. Don't get me started on Total Recall and Running Man because,
those
again,
very different
one
movies.
Is on Mars, the other one is here, one's a competition, he's a bad guy,
yeah.
the other one is a dream sequence.
Thing, it's a reality television, yeah.
Anyway,
it's actually a fun episode, and I remember laughing a lot at it.
It was
and
a really
Erica's
good
bringing the heat.
Yeah. No,
if you like an Erica bringing the heat on feminism stuff.
If you're a fan of Erica like I am.
Yeah.
Listen to this episode because Erica really brings it.
She brings it.
And the movie's great.
The movie actually is very good.
It's a very good movie. And comparatively to some of the shit that we watched that I thought were girl movies or like female, like
female,
more for female, like Private Benjamin and Working Girl and
stuff
like that.
It's so much better than Private Benjamin.
It's way better than all those, a lot of those movies. It's very well done. And it's just a great ensemble cast.
It really is. The cast is great. The script is tight.
Yeah,
it's well done.
They played everybody to their strengths.
It manages to balance the comedy and the drama very well. It's a great movie.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Dolly Parton kills somebody in it.
Yeah, she definitely murders a person, and then Burt Reynolds helps her hide the body in the bottom of their whorehouse that they run together.
That's right. And but they're in a big car chase.
Oh, they definitely wreck like 50 cars.
They wreck like 50 cars the
in
big chase.
Badass Pontiac Firebird.
Yeah, if I remember correctly. Yeah, they do. They flip it over a bunch of times. Yeah. He wears a big cowboy hat.
She has giant boobs.
Everything's
big.
There's giant boobs around. Yeah exactly.
She goes topless like 8 times.
Yeah, Dom DeLuise is in it.
Dom DeLuise also goes topless. Yeah. His boob's bigger, but it's cool.
But it's funny because
it's a guy. Yeah.
And, you know, he's kind of a simpleton.
Yeah, he is. He's a very simple man.
But thank God Burt Reynolds is there.
And he makes Burt Reynolds laugh.
Yeah.
And then you get that classic Burt Reynolds laugh, and that's all we ever wanted.
Exactly. Maybe Batman shows up. I don't remember.
That's probably.
I think Batman shows up. I think
so.
I think he punches some guys.
Yeah, he definitely punches a couple of guys.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it was like Steel Magnolias. Yeah. If I remember correctly, in my guy memory.
Yeah, that is exactly how it happens.
That's what happens in this movie.
So we're gonna end it up there, and we're gonna be back next week with more of our crazy countdown. Remember that we're getting very close to the end of our 80s movie recap. So if there's an 80s movie that we have not yet covered that you absolutely positively have to hear us talk about,
we're
going to
do 10 episodes.
We're going to do a few special episodes. So let us know if there's one you need to add to the list. BlockbusterNostalgia@gmail.com, BlockbusterNostalgia on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. Remember, of course, to follow our sponsors, People's Choice Video Express and Lucha the Video Store Dog.
At Lucha the Video Store Dog.
That's right.
Until then, though.
Until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francis Grandin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.